gang. Welcome to National Aloha Radio on the Aloha Broadcasting Network. This is Patrick Aloha. We're having a Hawaiian-themed week. This is a big, long Hawaiian beach party. But just because it's a week-long Hawaiian beach party doesn't mean I'm going to stop shilling. I'm going to increase my shilling, as a matter of fact. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, even though it's being rebranded as Aloha Broadcasting, the website. It's going to take a little bit of time to catch up. So republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels. Go to nationalbugle.com. Maybe I should look for the Aloha Bugle website, but maybe I shouldn't be talking about it because somebody else will get it before me. And download the Koshernified app because you want to know if your poi or your roast pork or your pineapple or coconut or papaya, you want to know if it's kosher certified or not, because you are what you eat and we don't want to be kosher certified. I know I don't. Aloha, Mark Dankoff, do you want to be kosher certified?
No, I think I can bid aloha to that, although for the sake of our listeners, during the years I was growing up in Hawaii, aloha can mean hello or goodbye. In terms of kosher certification, we mean aloha in terms of goodbye, certainly.
That's right, that's right. Okay, so it's been an aloha-themed week. I've been talking about the spirit of aloha, and I've been talking about, you know, white people as true. I'm not saying the true, because obviously Hawaiians came first, but as true Aloha Americans, we embody the Aloha spirit of, spreading, well, public health and ending slavery around the world and, increasing lifespans and reducing infant mortality and a lot of Aloha stuff, right? We've been doing a lot of Aloha stuff. And it's not always reciprocated. We are not shown the same aloha respect that we've been showing others. And we're just trying to spread the aloha spirit. So that's what we've been doing. I have for 3 years, we've been shelling for Tulsi Gabbard, me in particular, but we talked about Tulsi Gabbard 3 years ago on one of these shows. Before we were even at Republic Broadcasting, we did it on the YouTube channel, saying that she should be... Trump should consider her for Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, and apparently he did. He considered her. And she's going to be in the debates coming up. And last bit of news, on his weekly appearance on the John Bassler show on Tuesday night, Professor Cohen, he confirmed that he knows her. They're talking, and obviously she is getting her terminology regarding the new Cold War, not just the terminology, but a lot of the ideas, and she's obviously listening to him. So that's all interesting, and I know you've got a lot of stuff prepared, but I just was interested in your reflections on the aloha spirit of Aloha Americans, having grown up in Hawaii, and also, the Tulsi Gabbard's campaign, which is continuing, and her voice in the upcoming debates, which she has already qualified for. So,
well, there are a couple of real positives about Gabbard's campaign. One is that she is focusing on this whole issue of war and peace and these wars in the Middle East. Now, of course, President Trump was campaigning on this in 2016. His record since then has been entirely mixed. In terms of what he's been up to, and he certainly picked some horrible neocon Zionist foreign policy and national security advisors, which, of course, we've covered on this show on numerous occasions. But Gabbard's chief value is not simply that she causes the American people to reflect on a bipartisan basis on where this neocon foreign policy is taking us, even though obviously running especially as a Democrat, she has not yet, to my knowledge, used the word Israel or used the word Zionism. That's perhaps too loaded at this particular point to touch, but sooner or later, I am convinced, as I've said before, she will have to. But for now, she is serving a very, very valuable purpose, despite the fact that I generally don't like her policy positions on virtually anything else. The fact that she is doing the right things and saying the right things for the most part, even on an incomplete basis, shall we say, in regard to how we got into this mess in the Middle East and so forth. She's definitely providing a clear case for getting out and not expanding anything that we're already involved in. And from that vantage point, she's doing a lot of good things for the American people generally. The other thing that she's doing, excuse me, is that she is focusing on the fact that the Democratic Party has largely become a pro-war party. And, you know, the fascinating thing here is that, of course, there have been a number of articles, good articles over time, that have been written on this in regard to the amount of pro-war stuff that has been out there historically with the Democratic Party, clearly with Clinton, clearly with Biden representing the most obviously Zionist pro-interventionist globalist perspective, but nonetheless, of the announced candidates for president in this Democratic primary, other than Biden, who is quite unabashedly pro-Zionist with all that that implies.
He claims to be a Zionist himself. You don't have to be
Jewish.
He says you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist.
Yes, and he is resisting any reduction in American aid to Israel for any reason, up to and including Israel's land theft policies and Israel's genocidal policies in Gaza, their clear support for this Saudi genocide in Yemen and all the rest of it. Biden says it's a highly dangerous idea that there should be any suggestion in the Democratic Party of withholding aid from Israel or reducing aid to Israel. So he's at least staked out an honest, although outlandish and sick position. He's at least been open about that. In terms of the other Democratic Party candidates, the only one that I think is unabashedly saying all the right things, clearly, however, on an incomplete basis, because she's not yet talked about Israel. She's talked about Saudi, but not about Israel. Gabbard is nonetheless providing, of the various people running, a clear anti-war position, and is clearly critical, as she should be, on all of the terrible things that we've been doing in Syria. So that underscores two things. One is that Mr. Trump needs to consider some of the good things that Gabbard is saying and how Mr. Trump is going to frame his own policies and his campaign through the rest of this year and next year leading up to the election. And the other thing, of course, is that to the extent that Gabbard is exposing all of the anti-war fraud going on with some of these candidates in the Democratic Party, Warren, Sanders' actual voting record suggests that he is considerably less adverse to Israeli neocon foreign policies than he's certainly suggesting on the campaign trail. Pete Buttigieg is clearly saying that supporting Israel is a great thing and that it reflects his values and our values as Americans. I called him on that publicly.
Well, he
Twitter.
Knows all about our values. Pete Buttigieg, is that his name?
Yeah, you know, however you
I think that's what the cool kids are calling him.
But at any rate, it is what it is. And then, of course, you go down the rest of these Democratic contenders. And the only one who is clearly providing the kinds of things that we would say to the American people coming from the anti-war, anti-Zionist, anti-New World Order right is Gabbard. So if she continues with that and can continue to hit that in any remaining debates that she may be a part of, to that extent and that extent alone, I'm glad to see her in the race. Now, most of the rest of her policy positions I have no use for, but the fact that she is so right on this critical issue makes her an important factor in
well,
this
here's, here's the thing. So if this was a year from now, if this was November 1st of 2020 and the general election was in a few days, the general election's in a few days, you're choosing a president and you're choosing between Donald Trump and whomever that his opponent might be. So you're choosing a president. In November 2019, what we're doing now, we're not choosing a president. We're not, I mean, it's we're talking about a primary election, which would choose a nominee for the Democratic, you know, Democratic Party, but the ballots don't start getting cast until February. So here we are in November. We're a few months out. And so what we're doing, and I like Tulsi Gabbard, but what we're doing here is we're talking about who's going to get in debates and what are they going to talk about. Now, if let's just say Beto O'Rourke. Let's just say Beto O'Rourke, for whatever reason, in terms of Russia and in terms of Middle East, had all the right policies, but was destroying the Second Amendment. That was the centerpiece of his campaign. He made that into his priority. That was his priority. So when he's on the debate stage, that's what he's trying to talk about. And we don't hear him talking about foreign policy because he's talking about guns. We didn't hear Kirsten Gillibrand talk about other stuff because she was talking about Me Tooism and women and this and that. So Tulsi, I don't know a lot of her other positions because when she gets the spotlight, she talks about foreign policy. And so right now, we're not casting votes now. We're talking about who's getting into debates. We're trying to help people get into debates if they're going to be a voice, and trying to amplify their voice when they're in the debates. As this unfolds 3 months from now, 6 months from now, it may become relevant to look at other policies. But the thing is, this is the centerpiece. If she gets on the debate stage, and she will be on November, and probably will be in December, she's going to be talking about regime change war. She's going to be talking about the new Cold War with Russia. And she's now, I mean, she's, when she had the spotlight on her recently with her spat with Hillary, she was saying that the CIA created ISIS. So she's going pretty far. She's not talking about Israel yet, but when you're saying on national TV that Saudi Arabia is more of a threat than Iran, Iran's not really a security threat to us, and that the CIA created ISIS, you're going pretty daggone far. That is an important voice that we have to have up there.
Agreed, and I think President Trump ought to listen very closely to our arguments at that juncture in regard to the foreign policy that he is pursuing and the particular people he has unfortunately surrounded himself with in national security policy and foreign policy. And Mr. Trump needs to clearly understand that he's between a rock and a hard place in terms of his longtime connections to the Republican Jewish Coalition, to the Jewish business and political community in New York City. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law's direct connections to Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Sheldon Adelson financing of Mr. Trump's campaign, and all the rest of it. This has put Mr. Trump in a very, very difficult situation in that he is president. He is allegedly commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States, and yet within his own administration, in terms of all of the Jewish, Zionist, and neocon influence close to him, and in terms of the Adelson financial connection and Trump's stated affinity for Netanyahu and all the rest of it, that betrays his Make America Great campaign of 2016 in terms of really understanding that the America First position should not be at all confused with being a Zionist or a neocon. Quite the contrary, in fact. So yeah, That's to the extent that Gabbard is getting closer in many of the good arguments, fine arguments that she is making in regard to these Middle Eastern wars and the worthlessness of the Saudi regime and the arms trading and all of the tribalism that we have helped to fuel in the Middle East, the nation states we have either destroyed or have gone a long way toward destroying. All of this ridiculous talk about attacking Iran and all the rest of it, she is at least doing a good job of, in a general sense, bringing that to the attention of the American public. So the longer she can stay in the race in the Democratic Party, the better. And Mr. Trump is going to be facing some very, very critical issues, not only in what exactly he's going to do in Syria, But he's going to be facing some very, very serious issues in terms of the fact that he has basically staked himself out in a general election as the most pro-Israel candidate, presidential candidate in American history, quoting himself, quoting Mr. Trump now, quoting, and then by the same token, he's talking America first, talking about protecting American interests, closing our borders, you know, getting all this illegal immigration under control, and all of that's good. But the America first position is so closely tied to a true understanding of what a mess we have made of our foreign policy and the Middle East by what has developed ever since the Zionist state was created, and even, of course, prior to that, going back to the late 19th century. And this points out what I see as the ultimate difference between Donald Trump and Pat Buchanan. Buchanan has understood this. He has articulated all the right things on the Zionist issue, the Israeli lobby, the ADL, these Middle Eastern wars, and so forth and so on, with a very clear exposition of who's largely to blame for all of this. But Pat Buchanan could not get the money to get elected in 1996. And here we have Trump, of course, a generation later, getting elected, using a lot of the older Buchanan verbiage. But Trump has clearly done some things foreign policy-wise that make Buchanan understandably extremely concerned. And those of us who voted for Trump as the only alternative to Hillary Clinton have to join Pat Buchanan in being very critical of the president, where he has really strayed in these appointments he's made and in some of the things he has done in Syria, and that continue to go on with Pompeo in the Ukraine and pulling us out of P5 plus one with Iran, and some serious mistakes there that leave us in 2020 just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Right. So, you know, this is something we've talked about a number of times, that Trump, he should have been, even if he wasn't making appointments to these people, there's some people he should have been talking about. Obviously, he should have talked to Pat Buchanan. I mean, Pat Buchanan's old and maybe he's too old for any kind of job in an administration, but you need a kitchen cabinet. You need people to talk to. And he should have been talking to Pat Buchanan for sure. And, you know, there's people that you bring up often, Paul Craig Roberts or David Stockman, who have been in previous Republican administrations. Why wasn't he? Is there any indication he was talking to these people? I mean, I know he wasn't talking to Stephen Cohen. And for instance, the first George Bush talked to Stephen Cohen. He didn't take his advice, but at least he talked to him. And so, you know, or you know, Ralph Nader. There's other people he could have been talking to on the progressive side. People like Dennis Kucinich, who actually seemed to say a few nice things about Trump right after he was elected. The only indication of anybody that he talked to, he did talk to Tulsi Gabbard, and I guess it was about a job, and maybe she was too young, or maybe Jared Kushner vetoed it or whatever. But, I mean, Trump is, he hasn't, it's not just that he's appointed bad people, but he doesn't seem to have even talked to anybody who could give him sound advice.
Right, and I think that absolutely identifies the Achilles heel of Donald Trump and the Achilles heel of his national security and foreign policy, and it remains to be seen whether a candidate who campaigned on America First in 2016 will yet be the American president who ends up getting us into a wider war in the Middle East.
Well, we'll see. We got to go off to the break, but it just seems to me that I guess Donald Trump, you know, he had the talents to get himself elected president, but maybe because he doesn't know how to use the internet and he just has a little flip phone or whatever, that a few people around him, a few handlers, Jared Kushner, and then maybe for a while Rentz Priebus, whatever his name was, Rentz Priebus, and General Kelly were able to insulate him from good advice. But we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back. All right, so enough with the Aloha Party. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on, stuff that you're putting up on the big board. There's the ADL is involved in Texas. What are they doing there?
Yes, I think that this is the most important story of the night, if I might say so myself, in terms of a lot of fine things that we have posted at nationalbugle.org, or .com, I should say, right?
.com.
And,
.orgs are for losers.
What's that?
I was going to say .orgs are for losers, but of course it's republicbroadcasting.org.
That's right. We won't say that.
.net, .net is for losers, and .biz, totally for losers.
There you go. Yeah. But we've got a lot of things up on the big board that we certainly want our live listeners to take a look at as we are going through the show. They can look at some of those after the show. And I will be posting after the show and throughout the afternoon and evening some additional stories that will be of interest to our constituency, both in the United States and around the world. But I think the key development in the last 24 hours involves the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and the Houston Police Department here in Texas. Now, what is going on with this? Folks, this is an ominous implication, and we want all of our RBN listeners to make it clear to all of our constituency in Texas what's going on here, and to get this alert out nationally. However you communicate, Facebook, Twitter, some other social media, your email account with some of your best contacts and so forth, this story is absolutely ominous, and it's absolutely critical that we understand what's going on here. The Houston police and the chief of the Houston police, Chief Art A. Acevedo, have joined so-called area law enforcement, quoting their own tweet, and the Anti-Defamation League Southwest Region to, and here's a hashtag, to pound expose hate. Now, I sent this. If Patrick wants to get it up with RBN, he can certainly choose to do that. But I'll make sure that this is also up on our big board. But you can listen to the video where this is being discussed. Now, what is the significance of this? To really understand how bad this is, we have to go back to a number of things. One example is 1993. When the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was caught spying on American citizens in San Francisco, as I understand it, they later paid an out-of-court settlement of sorts when the extent of their spying and profiling came out, which indicated the extent to which the law was being broken by the ADL. And that included, and there was a person on Twitter, very fine person I'm connected with, who was talking with me today on Twitter about the fact that that 1993 case included the use of an ADL spy by the name of Roy Bullock, who was profiling America Firsters, populists, and nationalists, and who was making it a particular mission of his to spy on Michael Collins Piper, one, of course, the late Michael Collins Piper now, sadly. Mike, I had a long-time connection with RBN, the American Free Press, where he really made his reputation. And among his many books is Final Judgment, what I consider to be the pivotal final word and final judgment on what happened to JFK. And this, of course, the entire book you can buy through the American Free Press, or you can go to UNCE.com. And download every chapter in the book free of charge, thanks to Ron Unz. But the ADL clearly has been about the business, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, in profiling American populists and nationalists and lumping some admittedly very bad people with some very fine people that represent our point of view, where clearly there was an attempt to create an ad hominem attack on anyone who was anti-Zionist and who was supportive of traditionalist positions culturally and who supported the Second Amendment and all of these other things. Now, the proof of this comes into 2008. As I was explaining on Twitter when I was responding to the Houston police and the ADL and this pound expose hate outfit, and was making sure that these communications with the ADL and the Houston police coming from me were making reference to all of this. And I'll mention a couple other things with that in just a moment. But I also made sure that President Trump got a copy of this, his son, Donald Trump Jr. I made sure that Iranian and Russian media got a hold of this. Tucker Carlson at Fox News, I had a copy of all these communications and the links I provided. And then all the serious officials here in Texas that would immediately come to mind, Governor Abbott especially, and then secondarily Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, among others. But all of these different people, Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul and my old pal Chuck Baldwin with the Constitution Party, got copies of this stuff because in this, Chuck Baldwin figures into this in a big-time way, because in 2008, when Chuck was running for president on the Constitution Party line, and I, of course, was hosting my own show on RBN in those days, Mark Mann, Cross America. Chuck
and by the way, Mark, yeah, we're going to have to go off to a break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back just before the break. Mark, you mentioned your old show on RBN, Mark Dankoff's America. I'm sure a lot of the listeners to this show probably remember it.
Sure. And Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party, my good friend Dr. Chuck Baldwin, writer, analyst, Baptist pastor, conservative, populist, constitutionalist par excellence. Chuck, at the time, was the Constitution Party standard bearer for president in 2008. Chuck and I really became acquainted in 2000 when I was the Constitution Party candidate in the U.S. Senate race in a high-profile run in the state of Delaware that involved who would control the United States Senate after that election in 2000. That's a long story, but it gets into my own personal history and a lot of publicity that came my way on that at the time, as well as more is more recently. But in this particular circumstance, Chuck Baldwin had found out that in 2008 in the state of Missouri, this is what makes this current announcement by the Houston police and their work with the ADL and this Pound Expose hate group so ominous. In 2008 in Missouri, the ADL and I understand federal law enforcement, meaning the FBI, were working with Missouri law enforcement to develop a probable profile of American domestic terrorists. And surprisingly enough, folks, it wasn't the black leftist groups like Antifa that has now been deemed by our Homeland Security Department finally to be a terrorist organization.
So, I mean, there's Black Panthers. The Antifa is largely white, just for the record.
Yes. So in this particular
Black Lives
case,
Matter. Black Lives Matter is largely black.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter, all of those groups.
Yeah.
Thank you for the correction there. But in 2008, the Missouri Information Action Center report, known as the MIAC or MIAC report, showed that the ADL and the FBI helped Missouri law enforcement with a profile of potential American domestic terrorists, the most probable ones, that basically was describing people like us here at RBN, people who write for the American Free Press, and to quote the report itself, the report was designed to heighten suspicion in the Federal Fusion Center in Missouri, and these fusion centers, which basically fuse federal law enforcement and presumably the ADL with what has now come out again on this Houston matter, and Texas state law enforcement potentially, and the law enforcement, state law enforcement agencies all over the country where these fusion centers exist, with this profiling, which, to quote the MIAC report that Chuck Baldwin discussed on my show on RBN in 2008, indicates that the probable profile of an American domestic terrorist is a white male who goes to church, owns firearms, believes in the Second Amendment, doesn't support gay marriage, doesn't support abortion on demand, and who, among other things, quoting the report now, this is all in the MIAC report, would consider voting for a candidate like Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party, Patrick Buchanan, or Ron Paul. And so in this single breathtaking perversion of truth, a breathtaking fusion center, all right, in Missouri, of far-left ADL domestic PC with pro-Zionist, pro-interventionist policies. And as a matter of fact, the MIAC report also made reference to these same white males who are opposed to the New World Order and don't support these American wars on Israel's behalf. That was all in the report. And so what we have now is a situation where that was so explosive at the time that there was an outcry within the Republican Party in the state of Missouri on this, and the governor of Missouri at that time backed off being too closely linked with this MIAC report, and it kind of disappeared. But here as of today, folks, and I sent this to Dr. Slattery, we'll put it on the big board, the Houston police had an open public press conference that involved their chief of police, Chief Art A. Acevedo, and he announces that the area law enforcement, which means, what does that to mean? The Houston police, certainly. How large is the area, Art? The whole state? We aren't told. But he announces that they're joining the ADL Southwest region to pound expose hate. Now, I then, in my responses to the chief of police of Houston and the ADL, and this pound expose hate hashtag, was pointing out the entire history of, as I presently know it, in terms of ADL spying, the San Francisco case of 93, the Roy Bullock spying on behalf of the ADL in San Francisco on Michael Collins Piper of the American Free Press and RBN and Final Judgment, I made reference to a series of other articles that underscore this is all scary business. The New American at the time had an article which I did tweet, and we'll try to get it. I think it may be on our big board already. Do you fit the terrorist profile? That comes to us from the New American. There are other specific things that we listed, or I have listed in a show description that is presently on the big board as we speak, that will be in expanded form tomorrow when the show that you're listening to actually posts. But when you start looking at these other articles, there is FAIR.org's article on the Max Blumenthal arrest that took place recently, And what an outrage that is.
Okay, so I want to hear about that. But before we go on,
sure.
I just want to tie this in. You've got people like Elizabeth Warren who are saying that she's going to go after white supremacists with the full force of the law. And which one said that, I think, was it Beto, who's dropped out, but he said if he was elected, his top law enforcement priority would be white supremacists. And
yes.
So, you know, when so what Chuck Baldwin's talking about in terms of this new profile for domestic terrorists, this isn't just conspiracy theory stuff. You're having leading Democratic candidates saying that, and not just leading Democratic candidates. You got the FBI. The FBI is making this their main focus. And this isn't the FBI under Comey and Obama. This is the FBI supposedly under Trump, although...
Under Donald Trump.
Under
exactly.
Donald Trump, although they are actively trying to coup d'etat him. And he doesn't seem to know how to get a hold of it. But both the FBI and the CIA continue to try to coup d'etat him, or jus d'etat him more appropriately. But anyway, what about Max Blumenthal? Max Blumenthal is a very interesting person. By the way, is the son of Sidney Blumenthal, close
yes.
associate of the Clintons, yet Max Blumenthal is somebody who's very interesting and does a lot of very good and interesting work, important work.
Well, the reason on the big board today, underneath my Twitter and link description of this show that we are doing right now live, is a post on the Max Blumenthal arrest, which exposes the hypocrisy, the Western media, and the human rights NGOs that comes to us from FAIR.org. Now, the reason I put that in as well, when I was responding to the Houston police publicly on Twitter with the ADL brought in and with Pound Expose Hate brought in, Pat Buchanan, Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin brought in, E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars brought in, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock of Eurofolk Radio brought in, and every Press TV and Tasnim News Agency of Iran, Sputnik and RT in Russia. I made sure that in addition to President Trump and his son, that Putin and Lavrov and Medvedev had copies of what I was saying to the Houston police and the ADL.
Mm-hmm.
And I made reference to the way in which the ADL and one of their chief operatives, Rabbi Ariel Tuchman, had undertaken an anonymous, what was initially an anonymous internet attempt to libel me and to libel other prominent people in our movement, even people like Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton. Were brought in on this libeling process. Some of the more prominent Americans that have been on Press TV were particularly targeted. Now, when I sent my response to Tuchman from 9 years ago to the Houston police and the ADL and Expose Hate and all these other people and organizations I've just mentioned, I said to the Houston police and the ADL, take a look at this. In addition to the San Francisco 93 spy case, in addition to the MIAC report of 2008, this is a provable example of what the ADL does anonymously and under the cover of darkness to get at loyal Americans who don't agree with their PC and their pro-Israel point of view. I'm a victim of this. Can we expect this kind of behavior coming out of the Texas police now? And out of federal law enforcement in Texas. And when I reread my own rebuttal of Rabbi Tuchman of the ADL at the time that I and several other people finally caught him, we were able to trace him down finally that he was the source of all of this. We confronted him with it publicly, or I did. I wrote the article on behalf of these other people, and I invited Tuchman to come on Press Television Iran. You know, come on and join us, Rabbi. It'll be civil. It will be fair. We can talk about all of your concerns. I'll talk about my concerns. Dr. Foote and anybody else can talk about their concerns. But, you know, there's no need for this kind of clandestine, anonymous profiling of people on a website you've created at the behest of the ADL called J-Hate. There's that word.
Is that what
hate,
it's called,
right?
J-Hate? Oh, hate.
Jay hate.
Okay, so hate used to mean an intense dislike of, intense animosity towards somebody, but now it means a white person who notices things.
A white person who notices things and who disagrees with Israel and the Jewish lobby. That, by definition, makes you a hater, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've pointed all of this out today, but when I was rereading my own article, my own response to Tuchman of 9 years ago, which is one of the things that will be is on our big board in a general sort of way under the top story tonight on elections and politics, which is what I said to the ADL and the Houston police today after seeing this ominous news conference video. I said that when I reread my article to Tuchman, I discovered something. I had forgotten that I had brought Max Blumenthal into my argumentation to Tuchman. And I cited Max Blumenthal's article in 2010, this particular year, in Mondo, on Mondo Weiss, about the so-called anti-Semitism reports and the problematic character of these reports.
Mm-hmm.
That Mondo Weiss link has since been taken down by Mondo Weiss. Maybe they've posted it somewhere else where I couldn't find it. But Max very definitely weighed in on this at the time in a way that would have supported people like me against Tuchman and the ADL and the way that they do business. Well, if you look at the last 9 years that have now culminated in Max's arrest, under the most dubious circumstances imaginable.
What are the circumstances and what are the charges?
Well, in this particular case, fair.org, October 30th, in this article I just cited by Joe Emmersberger, Blumenthal has been arrested months after reporting on Venezuelan opposition violence.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, is the editor of Gray Zone. Gray Zone is defending him and is saying that Blumenthal was arrested on a, quote, fabricated charge related to the siege of the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, D.C., unquote. Max's entire history, his journalistic history, all of the mainstream outlets he has written for in the past, and so forth and so on. In this particular case, there's every reason to believe that this, in fact, is a continuation of the kind of harassment that we've seen with Assange, resulting in what's being done to him now. Chelsea Manning comes to mind. But the fascinating thing, going all the way back to 2010, and I'd forgotten this, is that when Blumenthal, in this Mondo Weiss piece that that's still in the body of what I said to Rabbi Tuchman, in my rebuttal of him in 2010, Blumenthal was expressing his own extreme concerns about this anti-Semitic profiling and the irresponsible way in which this was being framed and done, and engaging in character assassination of people that are not dangerous and that simply disagree with Zionist policies. From that time on forward, Blumenthal, if you search Max Blumenthal and anti-Semitism, one discovers that Max in the last 9 years has been subjected to an absolute stream of libelous drivel coming from the Israeli lobby and all of their particular people that operate in the American news media. The most obvious recent example that I pulled up is from something called Mosaic Magazine, mosaicmagazine.com. I believe we've got it on the big board. If we don't, I will make sure it gets up there after the show. But this was posted August 29th of this year. Mosaic's article says, Max Blumenthal's progression from Israel hater to Putin shill. So, in essence, the...
sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, sounds like my kind of guy, certainly. But you know, when you look at this, on the one hand, his first book, we are told in this article, was an assault on social conservatives. According to these people at Mosaic Magazine, I haven't read the book, so I can't comment on that too much. But Mosaic Magazine goes on to say that sometime thereafter, Blumenthal turned his attentions to Israel. In 2013, he produced a book so viciously anti-Semitic that even the leftist columnist Eric Alterman of The Nation couldn't approve of it.
By the way, Eric Alterman, who famously said, well, dual loyalty, yeah, I do have a dual loyalty. And sometimes if there's a question and, you know, what's good for America and what's good for Israel, I might go with what's good for Israel. At least he's honest, right?
Yeah, he's honest. And then Mosaic Magazine quotes Bruce Bauer, B-A-W-E-R. Then as Bruce Bauer recounts, Blumenthal took another turn for the worse. Now, this is what this Bruce Bauer says about Max Blumenthal that the Mosaic Magazine has reproduced.
We'll have to hear that on the other side.
Sure.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check. But there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
And we are back, and I want to hear what Bruce Bauer has to say about this.
Well, for purposes of time, I'm going to shorten this so that people can simply take a look at the post itself on the big board. But to make a
big
long
board
story,
nationalbugle.com.
NationalBugle.com, which we're happy to present to our good friends at RBN, but that we are told by this Bruce Bauer that in December of 2015, Blumenthal traveled to Moscow, and after a year, Obama's... I mean, that's a joke, folks.
Are we, you know, the internet censored your joke. What was the joke?
The joke was that Max had urinated on Obama's bed. That's a reference to the lie that was told about Donald Trump.
Got it. Thank you.
But In December 2015, Blumenthal traveled to Moscow, all expenses paid by the Kremlin, to attend a gala dinner hosted by Vladimir Putin himself to celebrate the 10th anniversary of RT, International TV network owned by the Russian government.
And the thing is, Vladimir Putin just made a cameo appearance. He didn't host it. That's a whole lie. And that's where that was where General Flynn was, right? And he was photographed sitting at the lead table where Putin made his cameo appearance. Actually, Jill Stein from the Green Party was at the same table. But the only reason that they were there is because Professor Cohen and his wife, Katrina Vandenhoevel, had declined their invitations.
Yes. And in this summation, this guy Bauer simply says that when Max came back from Moscow and started Gray Zone, the so-called Gray Zone project, he became a one-stop propaganda shop devoted largely to pushing a pro-Assad line on Syria, a pro-regime line on Venezuela, a pro-Putin line on Russia, and a pro-Hamas line on Israel. And then...
And so what's the problem there, Mark?
Well, the problem there is that Max Blumenthal, based upon the fact that he's Jewish, his father is Sidney Blumenthal, the great confidant of the Clintons, and Max is very much left of center on social issues. Mm-hmm. And yet Max Blumenthal is being subjected to the same brand of character assassination and professional character assassination that we routinely get from the ADL, from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all of these people who keep popping up. In the latest case is this one we keep hammering on for our RBN listeners just today. Houston Police has a press conference. The chief of police, Art A. Acevedo, is there announcing that Houston Police and area law enforcement are working with the Southwest region of the ADL and something called Pound Hate, Pound Expose Hate, or whatever it is, to basically root out all these extremists in the state of Texas. Now, folks, with everything that we've discussed about what I just read about this assassination of Max Blumenthal and this clearly politicized motivation for illegitimately arresting him, and then, of course, what's happened to Assange, what has happened to Chelsea Manning, and then these reports on the ADL spying case of 93 with Roy Bullock and his spying on our Michael Collins Piper, and then what Chuck Baldwin uncovered in the MIAC report in Missouri in 2008, we want everyone listening to RBN here in Texas and around the country, contact your state officials, contact your governor, contact your federal representatives, your congressmen and your senators to say, we don't like this. This is why we don't like this. Look at all of these links and articles that show that this is the illegitimate imposition of a leftist point of view that is connected to a foreign nation and a foreign intelligence agency that is trying to demonize Americans that are not going along with what these guys want to be imposed on the American public. When I saw this today, I'm thinking this is going on in Houston, Texas, with the chief of police and with what he describes as local law enforcement there. Folks, thank ADL in San Francisco in 93.
That's right.
Thank MIAC report in Missouri in 2008. Think of all of these links to Israeli training of American police officers, which we have also put up there.
Yep, and we're out of time.
And look out.
And think nationalbugle.com, where you can go and get more information. Thank you so much, Mark.
I will get these additional links posted on the Israelification of these police departments, and we'll post a VK description of this show with some photographs probably the next day or so.
Okay, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.